91.3 FM, WLVR, Bethlehem, Fritz Rocks. I'm AJ Fritz, and what you just heard there was a little tune, a little ditty called Wake the Sleeper. Yes, a title cut from the brand new Uriah Heep album. Before that, we also played Tears in My Eyes from Look at Yourself, and Time to Live from the Salisbury album. Still one of my favorite Heap albums. And before that, we also played Tears of the World, What Kind of God, and we kicked this set off with A Book of Lies. Those three cuts all from the brand new album, Uriah Heep's Wake the Sleeper. And I gotta say, man, Uriah Heep's new album, it is waking up the fans and critics all over the world. And today we're honored and fortunate to talk with founding member Mick Box, on tour right now in Holland, I believe. Hello, Mick, you there?
Hello, my friend. Yes, we are.
Oh, super.
We're knee-deep in tulips and clogs.
Beautiful. What a picture you just painted for me right there. Very, very cool. Hey, first of all, congratulations to you and to the band, of course, on the amazing new album. Life is good for Uriah Heep and Mick Box. It's been a while since Sonic Origami in 99.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things, you know, we're in the music business, and music comes very easily, but the business side of it occasionally is a trawl through hell.
Oh, yes, we all know
that. It's one of those things where we were leaving our last record company because they didn't support us correctly with Sonic Origami, and it was the same time the internet explosion happened, you know, and the record industry, you know, attacked the internet initially and took Napster to court and realized that you couldn't police those things because there was a million Napsters. And then the industry had to sort of reinvent itself and embrace the internet. And by the time it did that, the industry was never the same again. You know, record companies were disappearing, amalgamating, getting smaller, lots of firings, not many hirings, you know. So we couldn't really find a recording home to a lot later. But now we're with the universe, we're very happy.
Yeah, Sanctuary Records. I just found out not too long ago that Universal grabbed them. So you're getting some great distribution, I take it.
Well, that's great, you know, and we're really pleased with that. So with the reaction we're getting with the media and the fans with the new album, Wake the Sleeper, and having a company like Universal Sanctuary with us, you know, we're looking at coming out to America and Canada maybe late Jan, with luck.
Oh, wow. That was going to be one of my questions. When are you guys coming stateside? Let's talk a little bit about the tour. How's it getting on? And from what I'm reading, you guys are actually playing the entire album when you go out on stage and start the whole thing with the album from front to back.
Yeah, it's a brave move indeed. We went out and we're going to try a few songs like most bands do and play all the classics. But we in the end, we decided we'll do an hour, 45-hour, 50-minute show and incorporate a lot of the classic songs. You know, we don't ignore the classic songs at all, even though we're doing the whole album. We still manage to do the Stealings, the Sunrise, the July Mornings, the Gypsies, mm-hmm. Easy Livings, Lady in Blacks, you know, along with the whole album. So it works as a very, very, very strong set. And it's getting great reactions so far because, you know, not many bands are brave enough to do that, but we are putting it on the line there, and it's working very well for us. It's been very positive.
It must be quite an enjoyment for the whole band as a whole to come out there and play the album from front to back. It must be a great experience for you.
It is an excellent experience because what it does is, to be honest, is then when you go back to the old classic hits, they sound even fresher.
Fresher.
You know? And it works, you know, really, really well, you know, and... having the classic songs and the new songs side by side just shows that we haven't lost the plot, you know. It works very well.
Oh, man, that's great. And the fans are really receptive to it, too, man. I know I would certainly would not want to move from my seat for that, 45, 50 minutes there, you know?
Yeah, it's a really good show, and we're very excited by it. You know, it's quite a demanding show, but you know, that's what we love. You know, we love getting out there and showing people that we've still got the same passion and energy that we've always had, you know, for our music.
When you talk about the show itself, what kind of you know, stage are we looking at here? I mean, are there images? Are there screens involved? Do you need a large stage? Can it be a smaller stage? What exactly are we seeing at a Uriah Heep concert these days, especially on the Wake the Sleeper tour?
Well, we're trying to, you know, we've got a bit of a production out at the moment. We've got, you know, a huge backdrop of the album cover. And we've got some screens that cover Trevor, our bass player, and my equipment, which is, you know, more artwork from the cover, you know. So, and, you know, Russell's got a double bass drum kit with the album cover on, and it's kind of, it looks very impressive.
I would imagine. And talk a little bit about the artwork, because you've got some notable artwork on this cover.
Yes, it's actually put together by a guy called Ioannis, who's done some really famous record artwork. And basically how I came about him, he actually originally came from Greece, but he's now living in America. But I was reading this this magazine in England called Record Collector, and it was a whole article on this artist.
Yeah.
And he had all these album covers, and I was flipping through going, oh, that's a great cover. And but the last paragraph of the interview with Ioannis was, if there's any band you'd ever like to work with, ever, who would it be? And he said, without fail, Uriah Heep. And it was exactly the same time I just actually cut the deal with the record company. So I got in touch with him, and we've become friends, and he came up with that the Buddha, the female Buddha,
yeah,
that you see on the cover there. But the good thing about that is that because we've had such a hiatus between studio albums, which is why we called the album Wake the Sleeper, because it was like waking a sleeping giant. Basically, with the cover with the female Buddha on the front, she's in a meditative state, but she's just coming out of that meditation, which is waking the sleeper. And in the hand is enlightenment. And you can always say, you know, say that's the 11 songs that are on the album, you know.
Well,
all kind of fitted in really nicely, you know.
You know, reading the lyrics and the song titles, okay, there are some messages here that are definitely given to the fan, to the Uriah Heep listener, and to the world as well. And when you say wake the sleeper, we really do need to wake up from our matrix of this world, wouldn't you say?
Most definitely, yeah. And I mean, a lot of the lyrics are reflective of the world today.
You yeah. know,
what kind of God and war child and things like that. You know, but then there's the lighter side. There's the comment on the computer age with overload.
Yes, overload.
Here's
yeah.
the world, which is, you know, the damage we're doing to the world, and the world is crying because of it. There's many subjects. There's even one called Ghost of the Ocean, which is about women pirates, because not many people knew that there were actually shiploads of women pirates going around being as vicious and dangerous as men. if not more.
Oh, wow. That's kind of scary right there. We'll talk about this album, and I need to say this, that when we got it and we heard it, we were all blown away, of course. And the legacy of the band really remains intact on this record. The definitive style and sound of the band, down to the songwriting, the guitars, the keyboards, the melodies, the harmonies, and it sounds fresh but still true to the band's sound. And it actually sounds like there's so much more to come.
Oh, absolutely there is. You know, I think this is a template for us to do the next album and the next one, you know. Because we recorded it in a unique way in this day and age. You know, most people go and do it piecemeal. They go and spend 2 weeks putting the drums on, and then they put the, you know, the bass and the keyboards and the guitars on top of that. But we actually went into one room and recorded it live, you know. That was down to our producer. He came into the rehearsal rooms and heard the songs for the first time and said, wow, this is the power. We've got to get on the CD.
Yeah.
And we could only do that as one pulse, you know, as the band playing together. So we found a studio in the English countryside in Lincolnshire called the Chapel Studios. It was an old converted church, and we set all the equipment up and just went for it. You know, we chose a track and worked it up to where we're all happy with the parts, and just pressed the record button in 1, 2, 3 takes, we had it, you know. And I think that's where the freshness comes from it.
Yeah, you can sense it. It jumps off the record, and you can feel the immediacy of the live performance in there. You can just hear it. It's there, you know. And I think
that was very important for us to come back, especially with "Wake the Sleeper" again. You know,
sure.
The opening track is actually a statement. It's got all the trademarks that Heap's always had. He's always had a 5-part harmonies, as you know. We've got 5 singers in the band, so our harmonies are very much a trademark.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Hammond organ and the wah-wah guitar, you know, it's all there in the
It's all there.
few seconds, you know. And then you can hear the passion and energy we still have in our music, you know.
Yeah, so again, congratulations to you and everybody in the band. Everybody playing and singing and doing so well on this record, you know. Phil, of course, Phil Lanson with you, and Trevor Boulder and Bernie. You know, Bernie Shaw, wow, sounding great. And the new drummer, you know, Lee had to leave and take care of his health and so forth. And now the new drummer, Russell Gilbrook, on this record. Wow, you really tapped into something magical with this guy, didn't you?
Yeah, it's a good chemistry now, you know. And Russell brought a good energy to the band, you know. And it's working very, very well, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, you can hear him on the record doing some really great stuff, you know.
Oh, he's a bit of an animal.
I would say a bit of an animal, yes. Definitely.
In fact, he's got Animal from the Muppets actually tattooed on his arm. That just emphasizes it.
Oh, okay. Is that what the tattoo is on the arm? It's Animal.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, hey, you can't go wrong having an animal behind the kit, right?
Yeah, too right.
Especially if he's going to be playing Uriah Heep, you know? Oh, man. An important thing, you know, you mentioned was technology today, you know, and you even touched a little bit on how the industry has changed. You summed it up really quite well, because I do ask the artist about, you know, all the changes you went through the 70s, and you're now in this new generation of how the business has changed so much, and you are in actual contact with the fans, and you've got the whole website thing going, including, you know, not only on the World Wide Web, but you got the MySpace thing going too.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's put together by us, basically the fans. We've got a webmaster in Cleveland, Ohio, funny enough, called Dave White. We've got one guy in Holland called Louis Rentrop. We've got another guy in Brazil called Rodrigo Vernick, and between the three of them, they maintain it all very, very well for us, you know. And I have direct contact with them, and you know, I guide it along, but, you know, they're the guys that dig in and do the work, you know, and they do a fantastic job.
Yeah. How was the tour with Thin Lizzy? Are they still with you, or are you guys on your own leg now?
We just did the German leg, but it was great. Yeah, they were wonderful to work with, great band, you know, and it was a really good night of rock, because they went on and played, obviously, all their hits, you know, from Boys the Back in Town and everything, you know, and it was great. And then we went on and did our show, and it was like a really great evening's entertainment, you know, and it was a classic rock night, you know, not to forget, really.
Can't ask for more than that, you know. Two bands such as Uriah Heep and Thin Lizzy on a bill, that's actually a great bill. And sometimes we need to see more of that, especially here in the States.
We'd like to bring that to the States. It would be a great, great, great package to bring.
I think it would be a great package to bring to the States.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll happen. And now you do anticipate coming, you say, in January and February, possibly.
Yeah, we're looking at, the agents are looking at now doing a run of House of Blues.
And, oh, there you go.
And other venues as well. So they're trying to piece that together now. They're all working on it on the West Coast and East Coast. So we're hoping it all comes to fruition, and we'll be out there soon, you know, because, you know, we just feel the band's firing on all six cylinders, if you like. Five cylinders, being five members of the band. And, you know, the album's strong, and we've got, you know, Universal Sanctuary as a record company, you know, in the distribution stake. So, you know, everything's sort of networked very well for us to come out.
Well, don't forget about B.B. King's in New York City.
Oh, I'd love to. Give me the chance. I'm there, mate.
Excellent, man. Hopefully this will happen. We'll get to see you stateside, because we're actually in the Pennsylvania area. We're about 50 miles north of Philadelphia. So if you do make it stateside, please be sure to include the Philadelphia, Lehigh Valley, or New York City area, so that we can get out to see the band.
My friend, I'd love to. More than anything.
All right, very cool. Now, I got to be honest with you, Mick. I've been a fan of the band and your guitar work and your songwriting since 1971, since I was a young man, okay?
Wonderful.
This radio station here has been supporting the band at least for the, you know, 11, 12 years that I've been here. We're a college radio station, so we have no restrictions on what we play. And hence you heard me, you know, backsell a whole set of Uriah Heep stuff, that we have the freedom to play, and we're grateful for that. And we want you to know that your catalog over the years is still well supported here, stateside.
Wonderful. Yeah, I was really surprised when you mentioned Salisbury. That's fantastic. That's a bit of a dark horse, one of our albums, but yeah, so many people cite that as their favorite. It's brilliant.
Well, I still kind of just get the hair stands on the back of my neck when I listen to High Priestess.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, that right there, you know, it's got every trademark keeper ever had, really, with all the high harmonies, the guitar parts, the Hammond organ. It's got it all there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it sure does. It sure does.
Yeah.
Well, again, we hope to talk to you sometime in the future if you do come back, so we could talk a little bit longer, Mick, because there really is a lot more I'd love to talk to you about, you know?
There's a long history, you know. It's been quite a roller coaster heap ride, if you like.
Yeah, yes, it has.
Through life, you know, and it's an interesting story indeed.
Okay, so we'll plan on doing that sometime in the future.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much. And Mick, can you hold the line for just a second, all right?
Of course I can.
And and be sure to pass on congratulations to everyone in the band as well, okay?
I will do. I'll be going down to dinner and joining every minute, and I'll do just that, AJ.
All right. All right, man. Hold on a second, Mick, okay?
Certainly, mate.